welcome, everyone. This is Natalie. If you heard this music, I mean, it just really makes me want to cry. It's just so beautiful. Our special guest tonight is Kalyani. And excuse my voice, but something happened when I listened to this the first time, and it happened again. But I want to welcome her tonight. You know, as everybody may or may not know, I mean, she's got YouTube. She's done an awful lot. And if we have time, I'm going to play something else, maybe three quarters of the way, but wasn't that beautiful to listen to? So without further ado, as they say, welcome, Kalyani, to my show. I'm so happy to have you here. Your music makes me cry. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for having me here, Natalie, too. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
So let's begin by how you got started. How, I mean, did you as a little girl just start singing and somebody recognized that your voice was so beautiful? I mean, how did this happen for you?
Not at all. I mean, my aunt used to drive us to the beach sometimes, or my mom and my sister and I would go in the back of the car singing away, but nothing like, you know, somebody discovered me for my voice. No, not at all. And it wasn't something I actually thought about doing before. I didn't think I had good enough a voice to sing anyways, but I just...
Oh, my.
I wasn't focused on that kind of art, I guess. Yes, I just...
Sometimes we get led down one path and it actually takes us to another one.
Yeah.
You know, you go down this path and then another door opens and
exactly.
There you are. Oh, I'm going to go here. It's your voice. It's the music. I mean, I heard this, all of this, the first time before the show. I mean, about 2 weeks ago. And I sat here and I was hard to contain myself. It's like, and I'm going to tell you how I feel, and you can tell me what your reaction is. It's like it goes to your heart, and I always like to feel that your soul is behind your heart. Well, it goes right through, right to your soul, and lifts you right up to the heavens. That's what your music does to me. I can't say that, you know, there's all kinds of music out there, but and I'm sure you've heard a lot of beautiful compliments, but that's how Natalie feels about your music. That's why I was kind of choked up, because I was listening to it so intently, and I don't get like that when I hear music. I mean, I play music when I'm working at my computer, but it's mostly rock and roll. It's not, you know, it's not stuff like this, so it's just beautiful. So, now, you actually have a pretty great education. You had a BA in psychology from UCLA and an MA in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. So you are a California-born girl?
No, I'm Brazilian-born. I was born in Rio de Janeiro.
A Brazilian-born, but I mean you ended up, your family went to California, all your education.
No, I came here, I was 22. Yes. I came here as a pretty much a raised, grown adult.
I would say so, yes, absolutely. Okay, so did somebody discover you? I mean, I'm trying to find out, how did you get connected to singing and this type of music? You're obviously very spiritual, because you couldn't sing this way if you were not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you have to have the voice for it, and I know you've been told that before, but... Did somebody discover you? I guess I'm just trying to find out. How did you get started? I mean...
Well, I think it comes more from my... I've always had a very mystic nature and always very interested in the occult and the ethereal reality, behind what's behind the veils, and in the divine aspect of our existence. And I was like that since I was a little girl. And in my teen years, I was searching everywhere. I think everyone comes with a certain code, a certain purpose, a certain, given our evolutionary moment or quest at the time as a soul. I feel like we're all here. And if we tune in with a purpose, a specific purpose, and with some sacred contracts, so we have to go in between weaving these, alignments that are set out for us. And if we we manage to get through, and to the core, like you say, of our soul and connect, we'll continue to be carried on, you know, and at different speeds. And I think all of us, you know, we have a certain cap to how far we can get, you know, depending on how much speed we how expediently we move forward into our purpose. And I think, you know, I just navigated this to the point where, you know, I think this, I had an awakening. I had a couple of different things happening in my life. Once when I was a very young child, like about 9 years of age, between 8 and 9, somewhere there, I had a loss of identity type of experience, you know, and I saw myself out of my body. And when I look back, I see that a lot of things that happened to me have a lot to do with what I'm doing now. So when I had this out-of-body experience, I saw myself taken away farther out and out, and I saw the earth from afar. And then I saw the people disappear, and then I just saw it become denser and denser with green. And then I get farther and farther away, and then all of a sudden I see the whole entire solar system. And it just continues to go back. And I see I have this witness self inside of me asking, what was there before? What was there before? And I was just, it was in the middle of the afternoon. I was a very active child, very moving a lot, doing a lot of things, very active. But that afternoon, for some reason, I just walked into my bedroom. I used to sleep on a bunk bed, and I went to the top of the bunk bed. I laid down and looked into the ceiling, and this is what happened. I was taken out of my body, and I kept this witness in saying, what happened before, what happened before, as if I came with a code to see what happened far back and try to untangle our origins and what are we doing here? Why are we in this predicament? Why is the world the way it is? Why do we have many religions? Why? It's like all these, and I felt like the code was far back. So I think my little soul was already kind of responding to this program that I came with, this purpose I came linked to. And as I went farther and farther back, you know, the entire universe, I started showing up. I saw galaxies, and then, you know, the planets started to pop. The Earth popped first, and then all the other planets on the solar system. And as I moved back, I saw the some of the constellations and galaxies, and then they started to pop. And I'm farther and farther and farther away, and everything. When I say pop, they would just disappear, right? And all
right.
of a sudden, I found myself, and I kept saying, what was there before? What was there before? So I was seeing the universe, the physical universe, disappear. And then I saw myself in complete emptiness, alone, and I remember feeling the sense that this must be where God is. That's the thought that came
mm-hmm.
to me, right, as that small witness was there. But I was very innocent and very naive and very unafraid, because I didn't have a lot of, I hadn't been stained so much by the societal cultural norms and the fear.
Exactly.
Of certain,
that's why you were able to do that and to
yeah.
view it the way you did. Mine didn't happen until I was older. You were lucky. You were young. That was great. You were young
mm-hmm.
to experience something like that.
And you know what happened?
And so much of it.
When I said, the last thing was when I was in that place, I said, what was there before this? Like, was there anything before this, which now I imagine that to be the void, right? It was very peaceful. I was not afraid. It was completely empty. And I said, what was there before this? Was there anything before that, before God, right? It was just like almost like I was not afraid to ask. Was
right.
there anything else
yeah.
before God? Show me. And at that moment, I came back in an abrupt way into my body, and I sat up in bed like I had, you know, like I'd been woken from death or something, you know, and my heart was beating really fast, and I opened my eyes, and I could not remember anything. I couldn't remember my name. I couldn't remember my mother, my grandmother, my sister. I'm sorry, I have something on my throat.
You can take a drink of water. I can talk.
Anyway, I just forgot everything. I forgot where I was, what was that? Like, what was a bed, a wall, a door, a house? And I was in this blank, complete blank, and it was quite difficult for me. And it wasn't like any romantic, spiritual awakening. It was very dramatic and frightening for me as a child. And there was a sense of disconnection from my heart, like nothing meant anything, and I was not connected to anything. My heart couldn't feel anything. So my answer, I feel the answer is before God, before spirit. If there's anything without spirit, it's without relating, it's without connection, there's no love without the presence of spirit, right? It's like you can't feel anything. You're disconnected from everything. Instead of feeling connected to everything, I felt disconnected to everything because my question was, show me. Because in the void, I felt the sense of peace and connection, right? And then I said, show me. If there's, what is there without God, before God, you know? And what came was this sense of horrifying, empty, but an empty that...
Right. No, there's nothing.
It's heartless.
Nothing.
Not heartful.
Right.
Emptiness, but a heartless emptiness. And it took me maybe, you know, half an hour to an hour to come back. I started jumping. I came down and I walked out the door. I opened and I started running into the street to bring... It's almost like intuitively I wanted to come back into the body, and I started to have my memory come back. And a sense of gratitude and love that poured into my body, and, yeah, just to belong, to feel love, to feel that I was connected to others that loved me, that I loved them. And
now, were you still in Brazil when you did this experience?
Yes.
Or were you in the States?
Mm-hmm. I was in Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
and
you,
so
you
can see that this is kind of like my quest is like this going
back. That's the word I was going to say. This is your quest. This is exactly what you're supposed to be doing, just like all of us, if we can recognize where we are, who we are. But, you know, you were fortunate. You had this come to you when you were fairly young. Mine didn't come to me until I was about 33. And maybe you experienced this. I was a very kind of a quiet child, and I, you know, I was within a lot. Everybody knows this. Listen to my shows. I was alone. But I think when I was alone, I was actually gaining knowledge, even though I didn't know it, spiritual knowledge, learning to feel, and because my parents were not like that. They were not like that. Nobody, there was nobody around me that was like that, so it was very difficult to relate to somebody else until I got to be, like I said, 33, and then I had something happen to me. It's a wonderful thing, and you know, a lot of people really do, they never experience something like this in their life, and I wish everybody did. It would make them feel more connected. And I'm working, you know, I work a lot with my granddaughter. I'm trying to show her a different way. It's just, it's so material, but it's not really that important, you know. But you found a way with your voice and the right music behind you. I mean, it just carries you right up to the heavens. I'm telling you that's how I felt when I listened to all the music that was sent to me. And I want to thank Dia Shandera for that, because she's the one that connected me to you. And I hope everybody got to hear and feel something with what I played, because they really need to experience it. And they could also go to your site. We want to mention that a few times. That's just, you know, www.kaliyani.com. You can see all that she's done. I mean, I've thoroughly looked at it. I looked at all of it. And it's just, you get this wonderful feeling. And I knew that you would have a quiet voice, even though you can project that voice really out there. Mm-hmm. I knew you would talk kind of, not quiet, but, you know, you wouldn't be, you're not loud or anything like that. And I just knew. But now tell me, what's going on for you right now? I mean, I want everybody to know that they can see the video on your video up from your site. You can look at that. You can also go on YouTube, and that's at the front of my show page. So you can go to that and look at what you had. I have to tell everybody, 2 million visitors to your YouTube. Now, how did that make you feel?
Oh, that amazed me, and it filled me with joy and strength and courage and love and feeling that
right. It made you want to do more, right, and go forward. Now, when was that? When was YouTube done? When did it?
2014.
Okay, and I bet you're still getting visits, and I'm sure you will today. And I know everybody's. You're the first one that I've ever played music before I interviewed, and I had this idea, and I have to thank my gal, Candy Ranson. She set it all up, my dashboard, my music. She sets up my show page, and then I have another gal named Jackie who does all my copy. I always like to thank them because without them, you know, Candy does the show stuff. Without them, I'm just Natalie. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? You always have to have people that surround you that help to bring out the best. And the page looks really nice. I'm really proud of it. And but your site, they really need to go to your site and view everything that's there. So what are you working now? Do you have something that you're working on right now today or something coming up for yourself? I want to tell people what's coming up for you so they can be aware.
Yeah, there's another video coming up, but I want to keep quiet about that. And I also am being called to, it's a little bit of a, I think some people know and they have a sense of what's coming, but very few. But it's going to be different. It's not going to be quite like this, but also, in a sense, very much like it. I also am being called to write.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to be taking some time off at the end of the year and maybe potentially the beginning of next year to disconnect from the world a little bit and just focus on my writing.
You almost have to do that. I've tried. Everybody knows I'm working on a fairy tale because I love magical things, you know, and it's really difficult because you get pulled in so many directions. It's almost like you need me. I need to sit outside and say, okay, this is what you're going to do right now and leave the phone in the house. Don't answer anything and just sit out there.
Yeah, we have
there.
To cut the distraction.
I haven't been able to do that. I've got so many things, irons in the fire, so to speak, that and trying to project everything and promote everything. But I think probably for you that would be really a good idea, especially if you're doing, you know, you mentioned you were doing a lot of interviews, radio interviews and that kind of thing. And
it's slowing
although
down
this
now,
kind
for sure.
Well, that's good. Well, we all need time.
I wasn't expecting more interviews because, that wasn't something that I was, I didn't think I was. I thought that we did a good run and this is it, you know. But Dia says, no, it's still boring. I wanna continue going because it's still pouring in. People are still calling me. So
you,
I don't know.
Really
at some point, I'm going to have to say, you know, I have to say, let's just take the, you know, when it feels right, we're just gonna say this is it. And then I'll be able to focus on the writing, which I think, you know, you're probably the last interview I will probably be doing, except that there is one book.
Well,
for December,
I feel honored,
which is interesting enough.
I'm glad you decided to speak with me on the air. So now, are you recording anything right now? No?
Somewhat, sort of. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're recording something.
There's something
else
in the works. Let's just say
that. Okay, as well as it's going to probably be a video or something that you'll put on YouTube.
There will.
Probably be a combo for you because I would think that what I've seen so far of everything that you've done, whoever helps you with this has done a fantastic job to to get you out there, to intro you, and I hope I'm going to hear a lot from you, a lot of good music. I'm sure I will. I'll make sure that Dia lets me know when something's coming out again. But yeah, now I have some questions that were given to me on this media kit, and I really like to just talk to my guests rather than read any of these things. But there is something here that I keep looking at. The last one is, what is the inspiration for some of the pieces that you do? I mean, like this song that I played. Were you inspired? Did you all of a sudden go in the studio and the music was there? You can tell I'm a curious little soul here. I've never been in a recording studio, so I wouldn't know. But how does that come about? How somebody call you and say, I've got some music for you. I want you to look it over. Meet me here. How does that start for you? I just would like our audience to know who've never experienced any of that. I think it would be good for them to hear how you feel.
Well, you see, this is not quite the usual song. It's not something you play at a party, and the intensity of it and the depth of it.
No, you don't. You're right.
Come from a place just as deep, right? So I feel
right.
That.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult question to answer, but I was deeply, intensely inspired, for sure. And I believe it is come from, again, another roadway that Spirit has taken me through. Back in 2003, my marriage was falling apart, and I went into a deep process of prayer. And I prayed every morning and night this long, long, beautiful prayer that's 3 pages long before I put my foot on the ground and before I laid to sleep twice a day. I would do this prayer calling Spirit to assist me in understanding how to resolve or how to put together my life in a different way. And all I kept
right.
asking is for the truth. I want the truth, truth, nothing but the truth. And my whole life, kind of, everything got revealed to me, and I was led. And what happened was, at the time I was praying, and it was a Lord's Prayer because I was born Christian, right? And my mother taught me to pray from a very, very, very young age. I don't think I even spoke, and I was doing the sign of the cross. But she didn't believe in the church, because when she was 24, even though she grew up among priests in Portugal, she lived in a northern village in Portugal, like way up north, and before my grandfather moved to Brazil, and she used to take little Jesus from the manger and bring it to her bedroom and sleep with him. She loved Jesus. And I grew up with this reflection of my mother's love for...
Okay, well, we seem to have lost Kalyani for a minute. Sometimes it disconnects, and sometimes, you know, you get the little button by your face and you hit it, and I do it all the time. So it's a simple kind of thing. But till she comes back, she's soft-spoken. You can hear that. But she's got this powerful voice. I mean, listen to her music. Go to her site. Here she is. She's back. She's going to make me talk soft, too. Oh, here she is. She's back again.
I have no idea what
happened. That happens sometimes. Well, it happens, you know, sometimes if you have the button by your phone, it's by your cheek, and you move just right. It doesn't matter. I was just talking to the audience and telling them that you're soft-spoken, and you can tell that you would have beautiful stuff coming from within. But anyways, you were talking about your mother. She would take Jesus from the manger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she taught me to pray every prayer in the book. So we grew up praying, me and my sister, and I was very much into it. So during my marriage time, you know, I was a little bit disconnected because my husband at the time, he didn't understand religion, and he didn't understand the difference between being spiritual and being religious. I was never religious. I was spiritual. And because his family his father's side of the family was Jewish, and they all, like, perished in concentration camps. And his father was one of the few survivors, and he lived with this pain because his mother was Christian and his father's Jewish. And in the end, he decided that the religions were what was causing most of the anguish and the problems in the world, and he decided he wasn't going to be part of any. And he became sort of an atheist, you know. And I respected that because I saw him cry a lot of times, and I had tremendous compassion for him. So, and I had to put all my, I decided, you know, in a way, because I lived so much in the, you know, in the different kind of universe, even as a teenager and a young adult, I was never really interested in things that my friends were interested in. I was always into spirituality, and I did a lot of exploration of different paths and spiritual cosmologies, and I studied everything that I could put my hands on, from numerology to Kabbalah to chiromancy, and you know, I studied I went to well, it's, my brain is just failing me now, but went to investigated a lot of different paths, you know, spiritual paths and cosmologies, and the Rosicrucians, that's what I was trying to remember. Esotericism, you know. And I did yoga at 16, and then I was doing hands-on healing on people at my house when my friends would visit or my mom's. I never did it outwardly. I was going to high school. I couldn't. I was just experimenting with things, and I knew that I could heal people by touching them. It's just a remembrance of a knowledge or an understanding. And then I bumped into Barbara and Brennan's book, and this is, like, we're talking the 80s, right? And I got into The Hands of Light. I read that book, and to me it felt very natural, and everything made sense in what she was relating to me. And her clairvoyance, she could see energy and manipulate, you know, work with energy, you know, to clear people. And so I was deeply into that. And then at the time of my I'm going back again. I went back, and now I'm going forward. So at the time, my marriage falling apart, and I'm doing that prayer, which is a traditional Lord's Prayer, and it was Christian-based, and it was still had very traditional languaging, but it was beautiful. It was a very beautiful prayer. It's not a very well-known prayer. To be honest with you, I don't know where the prayer originated from. But I prayed that prayer, and what started showing up to me was a female goddess, and she started appearing to me everywhere, you know, everywhere, literally, from books to dreams to visions, through the glass, through every people who I would meet who would look like her, jewelry I bought. She was everywhere, and, you know, I didn't know her name. It was kind of seeping into my life slowly. And at the time, my nanny, who was working, I had young children at the time, and my nanny said, you know, I keep seeing, she was a medium, and she said to me, I see the Buddha lady. The Buddha lady has come to me. She's around you. It was really beautiful. And you know, I was going through so much. My life was upside down. But every once in a while, she would come and show up, or I would look through the glass, and I would see this Asian geisha woman, and I didn't quite know who she was. And again, it took me a time to put everything together. And I say a time, you know. By the time I went to Brazil to tell my family I was getting divorced to meet with my father, my mother, and my sister, you know, I was wearing this pendant that I couldn't take off my neck, which has a beautiful story also, the way I got it. And it was a Kuan Yin pendant, and I didn't really pay attention to it. But I was, you know, I told my mother, I want to see a shaman because I need a talisman. I want something to protect me, you know. And, and she said, my mom said, I don't know any shamans. I said, well, ask your friends. You know, Brazil is full of shamans. I want somebody who's going to make me a talisman. I want spiritual protection. So my mother goes around and around, and she finds somebody, and the man starts to talk to me, and he starts to throw these shells, and I'm like, no, I'm not here for the story, because he's trying to tell me why this happened to me, why my marriage was failing, why, and I'm like, no, I don't care about the story. Did my mother tell you? I'm here for a talisman. It was so funny, because I put my fist on the table. I want protection 24/7. I will not admit that my energy be played with in any way. I'm a child of God, and I deserve and I demand protection. And I put my fist on the table, my right fist, right? And then my mother, who's sitting over there, she says, why are you doing this? And I go, like, what? And she says, you are holding this medallion on your neck forward with your left hand. And I didn't notice I was doing that. Like, I was holding it and pushing it forward with my left hand. And then I thought about it, and I said, well, it was burning me. So when I said I want 24/7 protection for me and my children, I want to tell them, you know, this pendant started to burn me. And this pendant was made by someone who became my friend eventually. It's so much magical story around this. Her name is Shankari.
Yes.
She lives in Bali, and she's a jewelry designer who has been, since a little child, she was a devotee of Kuan Yin. And I happened to be buying her jewelry for a while, but I had never bought a Kuan Yin pendant, and I didn't even know what Kuan Yin was until that time. Even though I've studied every cosmology, I had not come across Kuan Yin. And I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's, mostly known in the Orient, in Asia, and she is known as she's Mother Mary for the Asians, in a sense, for us, you know, if we do an analogy,
okay, yeah.
But the goddess of compassion. So I feel like she's been there protecting me this whole entire time, and she took me into this universe of the divine feminine, and she weaved a story for me, and she took me into pathways and opened doorways for me that brought me to my purpose, you know. And I had to go through many convolutions and transformations and letting goes and rebuildings to really continue to weave this purpose and weave the story of my life and how I'm supposed to show up in the world and what is my service here. So it's a continual dance of listening. So she brought all of it to me. I feel like I am just a catalyst or a receiver, and you know,
right.
Trying
you
to
know what? I'm
think.
Sitting here listening to you, and I'm also thinking and getting that you have something else you are going to be doing. It's not just what you've been doing. Could be part of your writing, but there is another doorway for you. I think, like you said, a lot of times it's just a catalyst. All it does is it puts you on the path, and another door opens. And I always tell people, if you see a door open, at least peek, open the door and peek around and see what's there. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to go there, I'm not doing that. Close the door and keep walking. But I just think that this is bringing you to something else. I really don't know what, but I think you'll keep recording, but I think there's something else that's inside you that really wants to come out. It could be your writing. You know, you might write very powerfully. You might write about, and I don't know if you're writing now, but what you could, you know, bring about is how this happened for you. A lot of people will listen to your story or listen to mine, and, you know, they have to start thinking back, well, yeah, now I can connect. I understand, but mine was a little different. Everybody's is different. It's not going to be the same thing. Like mine, certainly not like yours. I never thought I would be interviewing people. Never in a million years. And I never thought I'd be doing the radio, and I've been doing it for 6 years. You know, but like one door opened. I started doing this. I have a magazine. I'm sure Dia told you. I have mysticlivingtoday.com.
You published two of my articles.
I did. I certainly did. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're there. And now tomorrow what I'll do is I do a blog on my other site, and I'll post your picture and how about our interview and links back to you. And then I usually do my Instagram, and my gal Candy, and she's listening, and she says, oh, everything is sounding so good. She wanted the music to be just right, and she says, oh, it sounds really good. It's nice when you have feedback, you know.
Yeah, it but sounded wonderful from here, too. Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's you have to have the right sound. And, you know, we're just on Blog Talk Radio. We're not in some kind of a big major studio where you can adjust everything. You know, I can see me, not me, but somebody would be doing it, you know. Okay, Natalie, you're on. Let's go, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel, you know, your path is yet, it's not complete yet. Of course not. You have a lot you're going to do. I really hope you continue recording. And I want to intervene with this again and just tell everybody they really need to hear you sing and all that beautiful music. It's going to make you cry, people. I mean, it really is. You're just going to sit there and go, wow. And it's not as though it's like listening to a lot of words. I mean, it's just you interject just properly. And, you know, I'm sure people have told you something similar, but this is coming from Natalie. And the people that are listening right now are like my followers, and some of them may have not have heard about you, but I'm going to make sure that they hear of you because you really have a gift, and you have other gifts. Look what else you're going to be doing. I mean, my goodness. And whatever
yeah,
you're going to write.
I don't make plans. People ask me, what is you doing next? You know, there's very loose plans because they think everything that I created
yeah, you're
that I
be
actually
in the right
joy
direction.
In
you don't have to
came,
plan it. Exactly.
Came as part of grace. It was just pure grace. It was just like dropped on my lap, literally, you know, and it was some movement internally that created this love for something, and I become, you know, imbued in a certain, it's almost like a magical feeling of I am being moved to do something, and that movement continues to grow, and it's almost like an itch you can't scratch. It's just like there, and it grows, and it's just very pleasurable every time you scratch. It's like a quest, and it's like it's bubbling inside. So every time that something came to me and inspired me, I go on this very enticing and magical search, and it just starts to bring all of this to me. And then when the passion gets really boiling hot, you know, I have to express. So I was trying to express some of what I had come about with, Namu's invocation. Actually, I went on your site, on your link, and it's misspelled. Somebody wrote Name's invocation. It's Namu. So Namu was the creationary goddess.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, I see that. I see it in my dashboard. Yeah, it's supposed to be M-E. What is it supposed to be? We'll have to fix
it's
that.
N-A-M-M-U.
N-A-M-M-U. Yes. Yep, I see. Yeah, I see. Well, Candy's listening. She'll know. She'll go right in and fix that. She's listening to us right now.
I feel like the goddess has been showing me these things. And do you know Amma, the hugging saint? Yeah, do you know Amaji, the hugging saint?
No.
You never heard of her? Okay. Well, she's very big. She's from India, and she travels the world, and she comes to the United States every year for a period of 3 to 6 months. She travels around, and she has done incredible amounts of charitable work. She has hospitals and child care centers and schools for children, and because of the work she does. And interestingly enough, it was in one of the days I came to hug her that I was told by one of her assistants to pick up a booklet, because I told her I was exploring this universe of the divine feminine, you know, because Kuan Yin had come to me. And I started to explore the divine feminine history. And she said, oh, you must pick up this pamphlet, you know, it's not even a book, but it's about the speech that Amma did at the UN at World Women's something. There was some event at the UN celebrating women in the world. And that's when I came across a book that she recommended. I believe the book she recommended was The Chalice and the Blade by Rhianne Eisler. And I came across
I've heard of that before, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful book I think every human being should read, and definitely every woman for that matter. It's called The Chalice and the Blade by Rianne Eisler. So on that book, I just had my first connection to that lineage, and I became enchanted and mesmerized. It's almost like memories from the past were seeping in, and I could hear words, and I could hear certain things that I started to research outside of the book. That just the book was just a link, you see. That's why we have to weave the invisible with the visible, because the invisible is guiding us through this very palpable stones, you know, in the path that we have to step by step, you know, to get to this coalescing point where it becomes more coherent, and then we go and we have that aha moment, that moment of awakening. And that's how I feel the music came through. When I became really ignited inside and my soul was just like vibrating at such fast speed, you know, in the mundane way, you can see I was really turned on. And in a soul level. And I was on a mission. I was so turned on and on a mission.
I think you've been on a mission with a lot that you've done. Sounds like
that's
that you
true.
Go nonstop,
so I don't even
full
know
force.
What's going to come next.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I mean,
I'm listening to you and...
All my plans are very nice plans. I think I'm going to go writing. I think I'm releasing another video. You know, I think this is where I might go next, if you ask me. But, you know, I am completely open to get a completely new directive, and I am very easy with shifting. I am very open to shifts. If they happen, I welcome them, and I have to remind myself to continue to surrender and trust in the process.
Not easy to do that, though, is it? Sometimes we tend to say, "No, I don't want to do that. Why do you want me to? Why do I have to do that?" Mm-hmm. I mean, I can do that with some things. I know in my life, but for me, I think I'm on my path where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I have other things that I know are coming to me. One in particular. But the rest of it, like anything connected with, like, my magazine and all of that, you talked about feeling really good when you did something, when you sang. When I, say, for example, Dia sent me the article for you, and I put it in, and I spend hours doing all these. I check it all. I send it back to the whoever gives it to me, sends it to me, and check for, you know, problems, any errors, whatever. I'll fix it. I'm up to all hours, but it elevates me. It makes me feel so good that I'm able to take this work like yours, put it in my magazine, put the links there, and off it goes. And then I promo it everywhere. I do everything with it. That's something that I really feel that is part of my calling. But yet... I'm not done either, you know?
Yes.
But I don't know where I'm going to be taken. I do know I love what I'm doing a whole lot. You could probably hear it in my voice.
Yes,
I really
I definitely do.
Yeah, I really love it. If I didn't, I wouldn't do it. You know, somebody said to me, well, don't you get nervous? No, I actually meditate a couple of hours before I do the show, like before we connected. And nothing is on. My cat's with me. I just sit there. Sometimes I can really end up like taking a little cat nap, but it kind of takes me someplace. And it's like clearing everything. And then I stand up, come to my office, and I'm ready to go. I don't even blink an eye about it. And everybody says, oh, my God, I'd be so nervous. What are you nervous about? I could interview anybody. It doesn't matter. Just give me some information about them if I don't already know. And we talk, and it's good. My gal is asking if we can play, because I have time, if you have time,
yes,
if we can do this Tears for Inanna. Is that what it's called?
Inanna. Tears for
Inanna.
Inanna.
Can we... Inanna, Tears for, can we play that? Would you allow me to play
that? Of course, it's your
show. Of course,
show,
okay. Now, before we play this, and we have time, I want everybody to listen to this. I've listened to all of it, And hopefully I won't be choked up when I come up back on the air. I don't know. But I have to mute both of us, so I will be right back, and I'm going to play this, and everybody is going to love it. You'll see. It's beautiful, just beautiful. Everybody heard this, and it just takes you someplace. It's like it lifts you up. I mean, it's so beautiful. You have such a great gift, and I'm so honored by having you tonight. Maybe somewhere down the road we'll do this again. I hope so, or we'll be in touch through Dia, and I want to thank her. She might be listening tonight, and Candy and Jackie. And all of those who are listening, and I'm sure my gal is going to tell me that she loved your music, but of course, and she always critiques my work. In the beginning, she says, well, you didn't sound like yourself. Now you're sounding like yourself. I hope you enjoyed this.
I had a wonderful time. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I can feel how rewarding it feels for me to receive that as well. So I really, really love the experience of being here with you. So thank you for inviting me.
Good. You have a great evening and continue with all of your work. And I know you're going to have great success. And please, everybody, go to her site where you can view everything she's got there. It's Kaliani, KALIYANI.com. In the beginning, there's a video that you can play. She's got all kinds of media, all kinds of stuff there. Look at all her work. Feel like I feel just talking to her and listening to her music. And I'm so glad we got to play the second one. That was awesome. Keep me posted. You can always contact me through Dia.
Yes.
And hopefully one day we'll talk again, okay? You have a great evening. And
I hope so.
Again, it was my pleasure to do this for you.
All right. Blessings. Have a good night.
You too. And as I always close out my show, I have to do this. Believe in things you cannot see because they really do exist. Thanks and good night.
Good night.